أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In our last sessions, we talked about different moral theories in the West. We talked about relativism. We talked about subjectivism, emotionism. We talked about intuitionism. We talked about idle observer theory, in the likes. Lastly, I gave a speech about Islamic theory of metaethics. I talked about different qualities of Islamic ethics, saying that Islamic ethics does not completely endorse anyone of the moral school of thought existing in the West. Similarly, Islam does not squarely reject these schools of thoughts. According to its own methodology, Islam accepts those points from these schools of thought that are positive, that are acceptable, and reject those points that are negative and that are unacceptable. And based on this methodology, Islam actually combines different things, and different elements can be found in Islamic theory of ethics. There is consistency, there is some sort of relativism, and there is some sort of subjectivism, and there is some sort of idle observer theory and the likes. But the combination is a very systematic and a very coherent combination. And of course, the combination is such that it tells us that it is a new theory and it is a new say in moral matters. And from this speech onward, inshallah, God willing, we will be talking about applied ethics, Islamic applied ethics. Islamic applied ethics can be divided into many branches because it includes many areas. When you talk about your behavior or your treatment of God, how do you approach God? How do you behave God? You are talking about applied ethics. Again, when you talk about your behavior with your own self, you are talking about Islamic applied ethics. And when you are talking about your dealing with others, again, you are talking about applied ethics. Applied ethics can include many branches, but we will be talking in this session about how to treat others, how to behave others. This is the subject matter of our speech today. To begin with, I should say that everything must have its own foundations. Without a foundation, nothing can go ahead. Everything has its own foundation. For example, you talk about democracy. Democracy is a prevailing political system in the present world, but it has its own foundations and its own substructure. And without this, it cannot go ahead. One of the foundations of democracy is humanism. First of all, you must have a firm belief in humanism, then you can talk about democracy. If you reject humanism, if you have doubt in regard with humanism, then of course you cannot get along with democracy. Similarly, you should have belief in secularism. If you have hesitation about this school of thought, then again you cannot talk about democracy. And there are many more elements in which you must have a firm belief. Without accepting these principles in advance, you cannot talk about democracy. And if you talk about it, your talk will be premature and it will not be a sound discussion. Similarly, when you talk about Islamic applied ethics, and especially when you talk about behavior or behaving with others, it must have its grounds, and we must talk about its grounds, we must talk about its foundations in advance if we want to get ahead in our discussion in this connection. The most important foundation of this branch of applied ethic is faith. Islamic ethics is based on faith. If you recognize the importance of faith, and if you are of the view that faith is important, then of course then you can talk about the implications of faith. And morality is just one of the implications of faith. If there is a weakness in faith, if there is problem with faith, then of course the implications will not work. So Islamic ethics is based on faith. We must understand that faith is one of the foundations and one of the principles on which Islamic ethics is based, on which Islamic morality is established. And faith is very much important. We want to talk today about faith and about the implication of faith. According to Islamic texts, only the believers are brothers. So one of the implications of faith is brotherhood. If you have faith in God, and if you are Muslims, then you are automatically brothers. And this is one of the implications of faith. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. This verse is a very important verse. Only the believers are brothers. When it talks about in this manner, when it talks in this manner, it shows that only the believers are brothers. What about others? It implies that others are not brothers. Only the believers are brothers. Even your blood relationship is not taken into account. Maybe you have, you are born of the same father and of the same mother. But maybe because you have different beliefs and you do not endorse the same faith, therefore you cannot be termed as brothers. Brothers are those who follow the same faith and who embrace the same ideology. So one of the implications of faith is brotherhood. And brotherhood can be achieved by those who accept the same faith and the same ideology. Another implication of this verse is that this verse says that the believers are brothers. It does not say that the believers are like brothers. It exaggerates actually. It says the believers are brothers. So there is a difference between these two sayings. Sometimes you say that this is like that, and sometimes you say that this is that phenomenon. So when you say that this is like that, then you are comparing two things and saying that it is like that. But when you say that it is that, then you are claiming that there is no difference between this and that. When you say A is like B, you are just comparing the two letters to each other. But when you say A is B, then you are claiming something more than comparison. You say that A is completely B, and there is no difference between A and B. Here, actually, the Holy Verse says that the believers are brothers. It does not say that the believers are like brothers. It says that the believers are brothers. So this is also very much important, and it shows about the importance of belief, that it is the belief that from which originates such kind of things. And there is a very good tradition or narration from the Holy Imam, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, who also talks about this implication of faith. It says, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ كَمَثَلِ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى بَعْضُهُ تَدَاعَى سَائِرُهُ بِالسِّحْرِ وَالْحِمَى. Look, here Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, likens the believers to a body. Imam Sadiq says that the believers are like a whole, like a body. Look at a living body. When you have a problem with your hand, for example, the whole system sympathizes with your hand. For example, if there is an injury in your hand, the whole body will actually sympathize with your hand. And similarly, if you fall ill, the whole body sympathizes with you, and everything gets changed. Imam Sadiq says that the believers are like a body. Whenever a believer is facing a problem, then others will come to his help, and others will cooperate with him, and will do each and everything in order to help him, in order to eliminate the problem with which he is faced. So the example of the believers is like the example of the body in terms of cooperation, in terms of giving assistance, in terms of sympathizing. Again, there is actually a tradition from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, who says, اتقوا الله وكونوا إخوة بررة متحابين في الله. اتقوا الله. Be actually afraid of God. Be afraid of the justice of God, because God is just. And if you are cruel, if you are unjust, then be afraid of God, because God will punish you. If you are a good person, God will give you the reward. And if you are a bad person, then God will punish you. وَكُونُوا إِخْوَةً بَرَرًا. Be good brothers. Cooperate with each other. Help each other in times of need. مُتَحَابِّينَ فِي اللَّهِ. And love each other for the sake of God. And your love should be based on faith. You love your brother because he has a strong faith in God. And your brother must love you because you have got a strong faith in God. Your likes and dislikes, your love and hate must be based on faith. متواصلين متراحمين. And be in touch with each other. Visit your brother, and your brother must visit you. Go to his house, knock at his door, and he must knock at your door. تزاوروا وتلاقوا. Visit each other. This is also very important. We are nowadays living in an age, in which we are linked through electronic means, but we are pulls apart from each other emotionally. Even in a family, the different members of a family do not know about each other. The daughter does not know about his father, and the father does not know about his daughter. The husband does not know about his wife, and the wife does not know about her husband. And there is a problem. It is a problem. We do not know about each other. And there is no intimacy among us. There is no mutual relation among us. There is no trust. The Holy Imam tells us, Tazawaru, visit each other. Be friendly with each other. Knock at each other's door. Whenever the occasion arises, visit your friend's house. Forget about the mistakes. Forget about the errors. Visit each other. Pay attention to each other. Talk about the problems of each other and try to find solutions for the problems of each other. وَتَذَاكَرُوا and talk about different things. Talk with each other. This is also very important. Whenever we meet each other, according to the saying of the Holy Imam, we must talk about different things, because it is through talking that we can know about each other. Unless you talk about something, we cannot know about you. We cannot know about your intention. But as soon as you start talking, then we can come to know who you are and what you are talking about. So talk about different things. Dialogue with each other. Enter into dialogue. Converse with each other. وَأَمْرَنَا أَحْيُوهُ And here the Imam gives us a topic for discussion. We cannot talk about different things idly. The Holy Imam gives us a topic for discussion. He says, وَأَمْرَنَا أَحْيُوهُ Try to revive our matters. Try to revive our issue. What is our issue? The issue of Imamat is a very important issue. The issue of Wilayat is a very important issue. The love of Ahlul Bayt is a very good issue. We can talk about these issues when we meet each other. Instead of talking about useless things, instead of backbiting each other, telling irrelevant things, we can talk about the qualities of the Holy Imams. We can talk about loving the Holy Imams, Ahlul Bayt. And we can talk about the benefits of loving Ahlul Bayt when we are meeting each other. And by getting indulged in such dialogues, we will be rewarded by God, and God will pay attention to us, and it will be to our benefit, of course. So this is also very much important. And let me cite another tradition from this holy Imam, and this tradition is also equally important. The holy Imam says, تُقَاسِمُهُ شَطْرَ مَالِك You see, once Imam Sadiq, Salawatullah alayhi, was performing Hajj. He was in Mecca performing Hajj. And Aban bin Taghlab, one of his companions, was along with him. He was accompanying the holy Imam. All of a sudden, somebody came asking a question from Aban. But Aban did not answer, because he was doing Hajj, he was performing Hajj, and therefore he did not want to leave performing Hajj and answer to the question of his friend. But when he repeated his question, the holy Imam noticed and asked, what does he ask? Abon said that he is asking me to leave my Hajj and go with him and talk about something. The Holy Imam said, leave your Hajj and answer his question. Abon bin Taghlab obeyed, but when he came back, he asked about the rights of the believers. He asked about treating the believers. How should we treat the believers? How should we behave the believers? Here the Holy Imam gives an answer that is very much important and very much eye-opening. The Holy Imam says, تُقَاسِمُهُ شَطْرَ مَالِكُ O Aban bin Taghlab, you are asking about a question and I'm answering your question. You are asking about how to deal with a believer. I'm saying that divide your wealth into two portions and give one portion to the believer, to the person who is in need. تُقَاسِمُهُ شَطْرَ مَالِكُ ثُمَّ نَزَرَ إِلَيَّ فَرَأَ مَا دَخَلَنِي Then the Holy Imam give a look at Aban bin Taghlab and found out that there was some sort of hesitation in the mind of Aban bin Taghlab. The Holy Imam said, Ya Aban, أما تعلم أن الله عز وجل قد ذكر المؤسرين على أنفسهم. The Holy Imam asked Aban bin Taghlab, Oh Aban, didn't you hear God the Almighty saying and praising those who prefer others over themselves? Didn't you hear about this? Aban says, قُلْتُ بَلَى جُعِلْتُ فَدَاك Yes, I heard about it. There is a verse in the Holy Quran, which I will, inshallah, explain later on. There is a verse in the Holy Quran that praises those who prefer others over themselves. فقال أما إذا أنت قاسمته فلم تؤسره بعده. The Holy Imam says, if you divide your wealth into two portions and give one to your friend, then you in such a case you have not preferred your friend over yourself. The Holy Imam explains, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ وَهُوَ السَّوَاءُ In such a case, you and your friend are equal because you have divided your richness, your wealth into two equal parts, into two equal portions, and you have given one portion to that person and you have kept one portion for yourself. So in this case, you have not preferred him over your own self. إِنَّمَا تُؤْسِرُهُ إِذَا أَنْتَ أَعْتَيْتَهُ مِنَ النِّصْفِ الْآخَرِ It seems as if the question arises, how can I prefer him over myself? The Holy Imam answers this hidden question by saying that, O Aban, you can prefer him over yourself if you give him from the share of yourself, from the portion that belongs to you. You have divided your wealth into two portions, A and B. You have given portion A to him. In such case, you have not preferred him over yourself. But if you give from portion B to him, from your portion to him, then in such case, you have preferred yourself, preferred him over your own self. So let me now further explain about this verse. Actually, the verse Isar, there is a verse about this in the Holy Quran, and the verse is a very popular verse. It says, وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانِ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُهِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ Those who have established a community center والإيمان من قبلهم, in those who have embraced faith before the arrival of مهاجرون. You see, the Muslims, the early Muslims, were of two kinds. Some were called Ansar, and some were called مهاجرون. Ansar were those who were the inhabitants of Medina. They were the dwellers of Medina. But Muhajirun were those who had come from Mecca. The Holy Verse says that those who have established a community center in Medina, it talks about the people of Medina, those who have established a community center and those who have embraced faith before the arrival of Muhajirun, يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ, they love those who come to their town. They are not actually disliking those who come to their town. They love those who come to their town. They do not hate those who come to their town. Contrary to the present day, and there are few people who like the immigrants. Many are talking ill of the immigrants, and many are talking bad about immigrants. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ حَاجَةً مِمَّا أُوتُوا, and they do not feel jealous of what they are given. Of course, the Ansar were the people of Medina, and Muhajirun were the people of Mecca. The Holy Verse says that Ansar were not jealous of what was given to Muhajirun. Whatever that was given to Muhajirun was not something that was creating jealousy among Ansar. وَيُؤْسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, Ansar were the people who were preferring the Muhajirun over themselves. And they were giving priority to Muhajirun instead of giving it to themselves. وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً, even in cases when they needed, even in things which they direly needed. Sometimes there is something which you do not need. Of course, you can give such a thing to any person who asks for it because you don't need it, because you want to discard it. But sometimes you are in need of it. And sometimes still you are in dire need of it. The Holy Verse says that Ansar were the people who were giving priority to Muhajirun, even in things which they needed very direly. For example, you can talk about food stuff. Food is something which anyone can need very direly and very urgently. If you give the food you need, then you can be an example of those who prefer others over themselves. وَمَنْ يُقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ, and those who control their greed, and those who actually make control over their greed, they are good people, and they are the people who will attain salvation. This verse is a very important verse because it talks about giving priority to others and forgetting about your own self. And there are different stories about the cause of the revelation of this verse, and different opinions are existing in this regard. Somebody says that this verse was revealed when the Muslims were fighting the battle of Uhud. There were some seven soldiers, Muslim soldiers, who were actually dying, and they were very much thirsty. They were in need of water to drink. Somebody brought a little water that was enough only for one person. But when water was given to the first person, he did not accept the water. He passed it to his friend. When the water was given to his friend, again his friend did not drink the water. He passed it to the third person, saying that he is more thirsty than I am. The third person again did not drink, passing it to the fourth, until the water reached to the seventh person. The seventh person said that I'm not thirsty, give it to the first person. When the water was given to the first person was no longer alive. And all of them died without being able to drink the water. When this happened, then the verse was revealed to the Holy Prophet, praising the soldiers, saying that they were good people because they were giving preference to others. They were giving priority to others, ignoring their own selfish desires. And there is also another story about this, and the story is very much important. It is said that once somebody knocked at the door of the Holy Prophet asking for food. The Holy Prophet asked his wives if they had any if they had any food. His wives replied in negative, saying that there is no food in the house. Then the Holy Prophet turned his face to his companions, saying that, oh my companions, take this person to your house and give him dinner. Somebody took him to his house. But when they arrived at his house, that person asked his wife if his wife had anything to feed the guest. His wife said she did not have anything. She just had some thing to feed her child. The man said to his wife, forget about your child and bring that meal to the guest. And told his wife that since the food is very little and it is not sufficient for so many people, then after bringing the feed, turn off the light and so that the guest should not know that there is nothing left in the house, and he should think that everyone of us is eating. And this was done, and the meal was eaten by the guest, and they remained empty-handed, having nothing to eat. When this was done, the verse was revealed to the Holy Prophet, praising him, saying that this man did a task that perplexed not only the people on the earth, but also the inhabitants of the heaven. And this is also very much important. So to summarize my point of view, I should say that the Islamic ethics is based on faith. And faith actually gives rise to brotherhood. And faith actually is causes brotherhood. And without faith, we cannot reach brotherhood. Brotherhood can be reached through faith. Thank you very much.